You may not realize yesterday was a holiday of sorts, Equal Pay Day, and it's supposed to mark the day when women's earnings finally catch up to what a man earned in the previous year. In other words, it takes more than 15 months for a woman to earn the same pay a man pulls down in 12 months. Equal Pay Day almost always lands in April, and unequal hiring practices are part of the reason why. Crosscut's David Croman reported on one surprising reason why the city of Seattle's wage gap has been so stubborn. He's in our studios to talk about it. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. Under former Mayor Ed Murray, Seattle touted itself as being 90% of the way toward pay equity. What do we really know now?
So they did this study in 2015. They hired this consultant to come on and sort of they determined, as you said, that women earned about 90 cents on the dollar, which compared to national, I mean, it still doesn't sound great, but compared to sort of national averages, that's better because nationally it's closer to 77 cents to the dollar. But in that study, they didn't actually include overtime pay. And so especially in departments, sort of transportation and utility departments that rely very, very heavily on overtime. When you factor that in, that actually kind of drags that pay equity. It makes it worse when you do actually include overtime.
To 78%, which is what the national standard is, or average, certainly not a standard.
Right. I mean, especially in the transportation and utilities departments, the pay equity goes from about 90 cents on the dollar all the way down to, like you said, 78 cents on the dollar.
Is that because men and women in those departments are being paid different base salaries?
Yeah, it sort of gets at why the pay equity gap is stubborn in some ways. It's not like sort of blatant discrimination in the way that some people might imagine. What's going on is that the positions in these departments that tend to earn the most overtime are just overwhelmingly held by men. So these are line workers and cable splicers and people who, when the power goes out or your new construction needs to be hooked up to the electricity grid, these are the people that go out there. And then there also happen to be the people that work the longest hours.
And are they hiring mostly men because that's who's trained to do those jobs? Or do you have to be 6 foot tall and really strong to do this sort of thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that kind of gets at the crux of this, which is, Why have we decided that some jobs are sort of, quote, men's jobs and why are some jobs, quote, women's jobs? For whatever reason, a long time ago, that these particular jobs just sort of ended up being men's jobs. And the sort of end result of that is men in these departments are able to earn on average an extra $12,000 a year on their salary in overtime, whereas women are only able to earn an extra about $2,000.
So you write about these two departments in particular. Is this sort of wage gap common across the board? Are we really talking about sort of hands-on professions?
Yeah, I think it's mostly the kind of hands-on professions. I didn't look at the data for police and fire departments, but I imagine it would look sort of similar because those are also departments that rely very heavily on overtime. Just the fact that I focused on three departments shouldn't sort of undermine the significance of it, because those three departments make up 54% of the city's entire budget. So it's $3 billion budget. So it's not like this is a small corner of the city. It's a very large part of the total budget that is then therefore sort of throwing the entire pay equity question out of whack.
We hear the same sort of thing in Seattle's private sector, where the tech industry is mm-hmm. heavily skewed towards male employees as mm-hmm. well. I'm curious if Seattle's sort of lightning pace of growth has affected this at all.
Yeah, I think absolutely it has, sort of in an indirect way, in that these departments, they are really struggling to keep up with growth. So this is transportation, city light, public utilities. These are the departments that are sort of on the front lines of dealing with this growth. But some of their jobs tend to be seasonal. So some parts of the year are busier than others. So they don't want to hire hundreds of new people to just work really hard for a few extra months. So what ends up happening is in these months, they just use the employees that they have and end up using them for a ton of overtime, which, you know, in the long run ends up being sort of more cost effective for these departments. But when they're using so much overtime, which between these three departments is about $43 million, and then that literally 92% of that overtime is going to men, all of a sudden you've got sort of a problem on your hands that I don't think city officials realized that they had.
No, and it sounds like a systemic situation that they're really going to have to rethink.
Mm-hmm.
My guest is David Croman of Crosscut, and we're talking about gender pay disparities in the city of Seattle. Mayor Durkan came into office just a few months ago, promising that she was going to improve gender equity. She was going to eliminate harassment in the workforce. Is she addressing this issue as well?
It's early, and this is a very big and complex problem because I think sort of generally a lot of the pay equity questions aren't necessarily blatant discrimination like maybe you saw in the Mad Men days. Mm. A lot of this has to do with these sort of systemic questions about who are getting these jobs and why are men being hired for more leadership positions, which tend to pay better, or why are men holding, in this case, these field worker jobs? So it's a really complex problem, and it's not so much an issue of just firing the right people or whatever who are making these decisions. To solve the problem, she would really have to go really far upstream, apprenticeship programs and things like that.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because you have to train people to do this work, which means that you have to take five steps back from just hiring this pool of folks in the summer where you're going to shut down lanes of traffic to fix whatever you're going to fix.
Right, exactly.
What concrete changes besides apprenticeship programs do you think the city could do to correct this?
Well, I think for the city, that is sort of a big step right now is focusing on apprenticeship programs. But, I don't know how successful those have been. I haven't seen any sort of data on how often those actually lead to more women or often more people of color getting these jobs that are dominated by white men. So I think right now, the strategy is sort of focusing on these programs, more outreach. It would be a lie to say that this isn't a really complicated problem.
For a city that has made a stated goal, gender and race equity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You clearly have to change something if you don't have that equity.
Yeah, exactly. And, I keep coming back to this, but I think sometimes when people hear wage equity gap, they want to sort of glom on to this discrimination or this intentionality to it. They imagine that there is some sort of person sitting atop who's saying, I'm going to pay this man more than this woman to do the same job. In fact, when the city did its study, they found that men and women who held the same job were pretty much paid the same. But the fact that it might not be the fault of one particular person doesn't mean that this is not still an issue. I mean, it's right there. So it's a diffuse and complex problem.
Right there in the data. David Croman is city reporter for Crosscut. He reported on the larger than expected city gender wage gap in Seattle. We're tweeting out a link to his story right now at KUOW. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.